Hello guys, welcome to Run Planet 365. I hope that everybody's doing good. And today we're gonna talk about two lactate thresholds. You know, I often get asked the question, you know, like what is, you know, lactate threshold? What is aerobic threshold? And although we've covered this in the past, you know, let's refresh it. Let's talk about it again. Let's have a better understanding of what are these meanings, why are they so important, and what can we do in training to improve those parameters. So that's what we really need to discuss and talk about. So let's start with the first one. As everybody, as a runner, in order, you know, you've heard of terms lactate threshold or aerobic threshold, and these terms, they get thrown out there and it's like everybody interprets them in somewhat a different way. Everybody knows that they're like, you know, there's some sort of stamina or something like comfortably hard and things like that, but nobody really, you know, let's talk about how I differentiate them and what does each one look differently, like the heart rate and things like that. So the term lactate threshold is basically your 1 hour current race pace, okay? And so it's the pace or effort that you're capable of, or maybe recently have run that in somewhere where you can say, okay, I have some sort of fact here. I've did 60 minutes and my best pace was 5:10 pace, okay, in a race scenario. So you what you do is you say, well, that's the best possible pace, okay, and then you add about 15 seconds to it, and so that way you have a range in practice, okay. So let's just say in my case, I'm gonna go out and it changes all the time. Like, let's say I haven't really ran a race or a half, so it gets like a little bit more complicated when you haven't done a recent race or anything like that. So that way it's a little bit more harder to predict this outcome. But let's just say I did a race and I ran, let's say I ran 5:15 pace in a half marathon, right? It's a little bit more, it would be about 68 minutes, but let's say that at 1 hour, I let's say maybe I can go 5:14, but let's just put it for numbers, 5:15. So that's why I know that my lactate threshold is 5:15 and I add 15 seconds, so anywhere from 5:15 to 5:30. Okay, so if I want to be safe with my lactate threshold and when I do trainings, I'm pretty much can start at that slower end at 5:30 and proceed from there. Obviously, if I'm doing like shorter reps, such as like you know, like 5 times 6 minutes at lactate threshold, I'm gonna be going right away at that, you know, 5:15 pace. But if I'm running like a 45 or, you know, well, let's say I'm doing a 30-minute tempo run, and maybe it's not perfect outside, it's a little bit windy, I'm a little bit tired, and there's nothing wrong, I start my pace at 5:30, and mile two, maybe I'm saying, hey, this feels pretty good. Let me get it to 5:25. I get to 5:25, still feels really good. Heart rate is perfect. Then I always have my limit because I know that I say like that 5:10 is the fastest that I want to go, or 5:15 would be the fastest I want to go. I don't have to go, but on a perfect day, if I'm feeling good, I'm gonna do it. So then you get to that, you know, 5:20, 5:15, and you either stay there or you maintain, or you back up again, right? But you know, you want to be kind of gentle, and you want to be able to like feel your pace and see how your body feels. And you don't want to be able to, you don't want to like, I guess the word is, we don't want to be pushing too hard. Just get that, you know, like maybe you're thinking like, hey, if I don't run 5:15 pace, I suck. Or hey, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be, I can do harder. And that's really like the wrong mentality when it comes to anaerobic or LTE threshold. That's why I always say, well, there's a range, guys. You know, like same with the heart rate, there's a range. It's like, you know, it's like 85% to 90%, and that's the range. And pace-wise range and effort range, you know, it's like starting at a 7 and ending at an 8. Never entering 9s or 10s, that's for sure. Usually like a 7 or entering an 8th feeling effort from 1 to 10. That's your LT zone, okay? Now, one of the biggest important things why we run lactate threshold is because that is the number one parameter that tells you how good you can be in any distance. Not your VO2 max, not how many miles you run, not how fast you run, but how high is your lactate threshold, okay? The higher the lactate threshold, the higher the other paces, okay? World-class runners obviously have a threshold of, you know, it's pretty much from like 250 to 255 per K, you know, 430 to 440 per mile. And that is now, and that is really typical nowadays to have that high of a lactate threshold. Like, so these guys basically are covering the half marathon under 60 minutes. And it's pretty much, you know, in last few years or change, but it's pretty much you have to run under 60 minutes for the half to be a world-class athlete as a male. And now we're seeing more ladies running 65 to 68 range. That's their lactate threshold. Now, the reason why we've also gotten pretty good at lactate threshold, because we figured out how to do some of the workouts, how to use the, you know, technology that we have, shoes, nutrition, training methods. So another thing, the second important thing besides lactate threshold is what is aerobic threshold, right? And now aerobic threshold goes the same way as lactate threshold goes, but this is now more like, hey, this is your 2-hour race pace. What is your aerobic threshold? What's the fastest pace that you're capable of running for 2 hours in a race scenario? That's why, again, world-class marathoners, and now we're seeing that in reality, closer to 2 hours, 1 hour. Basically, people are covering, you know, a half marathon in less than 1 hour, and now we're getting to the point where we're covering the marathon in 2 hours. So those are exactly our aerobic thresholds. Like, the difference between them is obviously it's different for everybody, but the difference is definitely, you know, 10 to 15 seconds per mile. The breathing pattern for the lactate threshold is more of aggressive, still in full control, but aggressive. Versus for the marathon, the breathing is a lot lower and more controlled, but still at a pretty good clip. Now, some people have 5 seconds difference, some people have 20, some people have 30. It just depends the difference that you have between lactate threshold and aerobic threshold. And the difference is individual, guys. We can have formulas, we can have, you know, approximations, calculators, but at the end of the day, everybody is really, really different, guys. And there isn't the same concept, right? So it's totally, totally different. Like in my case, when I was usually, you know, in really good shape, my lactate threshold is pretty high versus my marathon is a little bit, it's not like closer to, I have like a, I don't know, I guess I can have like a 25 second difference, and that's really a lot, right? Like versus my wife, she's got 5 second difference, right? The way she runs the half marathon and marathon, there is no difference. It's almost the same pace. And there are people that have a very close LT and AT together. And, you know, usually there are just people, they call them the marathoners. Like, even if you think about it, Eliud Kipchoge, same concept. He's strictly a marathoner, right? The LT, AT is the same. There's other people that is just really, like, the same. They're, like, one of the guys that was really good was Tedesi from Zernice Tedesi from Eritrea those days. This guy was like a 57 or 58 half, and he just couldn't get it right in the marathon for some reason. It never translated for him, you know. So it's like, it just depends. Some people are really good at running at that edge, and some people are really good at like enduring that, you know, for 26 miles and keeping that high fraction pace. So in other words, you know, when you train for the marathon, you need to be doing, of course, quite a bit of marathon work, which is aerobic threshold, but also you need to be making sure that when you start your build up, you need to get your lactate threshold. For any runner, guys, you need to get your lactate threshold up as high as you can before pivoting in any direction, whether it be you decide to say, hey, I'm going to go into marathon now, I'm going to go into the half, or I'm going to go into a 5K. To be honest with you, the preparation for all of it is the same. You know, like, we all want to prepare, get yourself in really good shape from all angles, speed, endurance, strength, everything, you know, core. And then, you know, last month or 2 months, go into your specialty, whatever that your specialty is. If you're focusing on a marathon, focus on a marathon. If you're focusing on a half, focus on a half. If you're cross country 10K, focus on that. So, but we all, you know, come from different ways of accomplishing this goal. Some people need 100 mile a week. Some people need 140. Some people need 60 mile a week, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, that's what you got to respect. You got to respect the individual requirements in the sport. You know, we're not all the same. Don't try to look what everybody else is doing, but rather ask yourself, well, what is best for me? What do I need to do to reach my goals, to reach what I need to reach in this sport? Or what do I need to do to get my lactate threshold? You know, if you, honestly, to get your lactate threshold up, you need to do work at it, below it, and over it, right? Quite a bit, once or twice a week, that progresses things forward. If you want to improve your marathon, well, you've got to, you know, you've got to bring your specific endurance up. You've got to start running marathons or races, trainings where you start putting like 3x3 mile, 3x5K, 4x3 mile, and things like that at your aerobic. So that's why, guys, it's very important in training or when preparing for something, you know, to not be afraid of these two terms, aerobic and lactate, and to know exactly, hey, where is my lactate in aerobic threshold? Where are they all when comparing to each other? Okay, that's extremely important. And also, you want to know like where or how are they different with your heart rate. Like, for example, you know, have some data and say, hey, you know, I run a half marathon at so and so, I'll run a marathon at so and so heart rate, or I run for 2 hours. The fastest that I can maintain my heart rate for 2 hours, the highest is this. So, and you know how it feels, right? And honestly, you know, as much as we need to run easy, we need to have good good low heart rate zones. Obviously, that's the number one thing, you know, for everybody. You know, if you're not good at low heart rates and then your gaps are too small, then, you know, your success is going to be much harder than for somebody that has all the lactate zones and somebody that can basically run, you know, fast with low heart rate. You know, that person obviously is going to be able to run faster with, you know, higher heart rate, but still a lower lactate. So you do want to, you know, the only way to improve all these parameters is to run at these paces, to have some sort of structure, to know like, hey, what my easy days are, what are truly my recovery days, what are my warm-ups, what are my cool-downs, what are my lactate threshold days, what are my aerobic threshold days, what is my endurance, you know, what effort do I need to run, you know, for 2 or 90 minutes to 2 hours, what is it gonna make me or take me to the next level? Like yesterday, I was doing my long run and I said, hey, you know, I'm just gonna do 90 minutes and every 30 minutes, I'm gonna just increase the pace a little bit. And it wasn't that I was even going that fast. You know, I averaged 144 beats, so about 77%. So more like on a higher end of easy, you know, I average around 6.11 pace. And to be honest, you're looking at the heart rate data and looking at it, hey, you know, average heart rate 144, and you look at that stuff and you think, well, is this, you know, still my easy, is it my fast? And, you know, I always look up and say, hey, these are my easy pace, you know, a higher end easy pace, and perhaps getting into that little bit of that moderate towards the last 30 minutes because, you know, like the fuel is running low, probably getting hot, a little bit humid out here in Florida, but still well underneath the marathon pace, still like within moderate, not getting into that hard effort yet. And that's it, you know, and then you go out there and you say, hey, that's how you progress endurance. Maybe next day, next week, you say, I'm going to go 16 mile or 17 mile and or a little bit more and a little bit faster pace. Or maybe you'll just go easy 2 hours at a little bit slower pace. It just depends how you like to build fitness and how you like to bring your fitness upwards. So now that we know what the difference is between lactate threshold and aerobic threshold, now we need to understand, well, what difference does it make? Well, the way you would want to design your program or things to improve is you would want things to, you know, when you have a workout day, you either are going to try to increase your lactate threshold, right, LT, 1 hour race pace, maybe by doing a 30 minute tempo run, maybe by doing mile repeats at LT, maybe by doing 10K work, right, and maybe doing 8x1K. You know, the reason why 8x1K is the amazing workout, because it's faster than LT pace, right, but shorter. So you might not even go over your lactate threshold heart rate because the intervals is, you know, 3 to 4 minutes, maybe 5 for some, but they're short enough where you're not gonna get into that trouble or you're not gonna be over lactate threshold, okay? So that's the beauty of 1K repeats. It allows you to go faster than half marathon pace, you know, preferably 15 seconds faster, and it allows you not to go over that heart rate. And what that does is if you do 8x1K, for example, right, that's 5 miles at, you know, at 10K effort. That's a great workout, right? That's gonna move up your LT curve to the right. You know, next time you do a tempo run on a Friday, and now you're asked, you know, to run maybe like slower than, you know, at your lactate threshold. But after you've done the K repeats at, you know, at much faster pace, this now pace is going to seem a lot slower. And, you know, you're going to be more of a in control of that pace. And same thing, what that will do to the marathon pace when you have the 10K reps in there is going to make the marathon pace seem slow. Which in fact, number one mistake that we all as runners sometimes have done, you don't want your marathon pace to feel like a sprint. You want it to feel comfortable. And the only way that the marathon pace can feel comfortable is if you've touched faster sessions. If you've touched, you know, 10% speed faster in training, and you feel also comfortable at that. For example, when I was in my best marathon shape, I never got to actually run the race because of COVID, but I really got myself into really good shape, and I had a good training partner too, and we really just, you know, the one of the ways that we executed the marathon preparation was that he came from an endurance background and I came from the speed background, right? And what I say is, like, for me, in order, when I arrive at the marathon specific stage, I want to feel good. Like, I don't want 5:20 to feel like it's hard to work. If you come to this, you know, to the training and you realize that your marathon pace is giving you hard work or hard, you know, it's tough, you're in trouble. That's why I always say, well, don't go straight to the marathon, right? Recover from the marathon, build back nicely, rebuild your engine, you know, rebuild your lactate, rebuild everything, you know, make sure that you have, that the pace is never an issue, right? So for me, anytime that 5:20 has felt like not, I wanted, what you want to do in training, and that's the only way, guys, you have got to make marathon pace to feel moderate. And that's the thing with everything that we have. We have got to make certain paces feel slow, right? Like, even though you know that marathon pace, you know, in my case, let's say I'm attempting to run, for example, my best at 2:23. So let's say I'm always trying to attempt to break 2:20, right? So if I'm to run at 5:20 pace, it has to feel moderate. It cannot feel hard. The moment that 5:20 feels hard, I am not gonna be able to run that for 26 miles, because, you know, you want it to feel hard, like, not hard, so you want it to feel moderate. So the only way to make it feel easier is to be faster at other paces, such as, you know, 10K pace and LT pace, half marathon. If you can improve those, and then you go to the marathon, and now you say, hey, you know, this pace now all of a sudden feels like, instead of feeling like a tempo, it's feeling more like, hey, this is manageable. This is, I'm in cruise control here. I'm in full control. Now you don't have the pace dilemma. Now, the only thing that you need to do after that is to extend the ability to last longer at that pace, right? Because now all you have to do with other type of stuff, like 5-10K stuff and half, you've now got to just maintain that stuff, right? And now you've got to extend the marathon stuff while just maintaining other things, because you never want to get to the point where marathon pace becomes hard. You want marathon pace to feel easy or moderate, right? So what you need to do is, then after you've done that job, you go out there And now you extend the marathon pace, and now you don't even have a trouble running it for a long time anymore. So now you have the marathon pace in good place. You have now the speed session still. So you basically have everything that you need in order to succeed. And that's the best way I can tell you about the marathon pace. You know, how to execute it. You want to come from that, from down. You don't want to come from the top. So after we have an understanding, and after we understand everything about these, both of these thresholds, the next thing that we want to do is improve them. And if we can improve them, then we're going to get our fitness levels higher. And if we get our fitness levels higher, we're going to race faster. And that's pretty much it. You know, we're going to raise our lactate threshold. And lactate threshold, you know, it can be raised, as I've talked to you guys before, you have to run at lactate threshold, underneath it, which could be aerobic threshold, or over it, right, which could be the 10K pace. So by just alternating, to be honest with you, 10K pace, half marathon, and marathon pace, you're going to put yourself in a really good position. Of course, these are workout days, right? These are the days where you really gonna, you know, get your bang for your buck, or whatever there's a saying. You come out and you know exactly what you're trying to do, and you understand that you have to hit these certain intensities in training if you want to you know, improve. If we don't stress enough, if we don't, you know, if we don't train at lactate threshold, if we don't have from both sides of it, we can never really improve. Because what lactate threshold is really, guys, it's about that, you know, being comfortable with uncomfortable. And that's all it is, you know. It's like you have got to teach yourself, hey, like, this is doable, I can do this, you know. And the brain will recognize how you feel during LT or aerobic threshold, and eventually it will start getting easier and easier. It's not like that you're just gonna get faster right away, but what's gonna happen is that these paces are gonna become more manageable in your brain. And that's the whole thing about distance running. We have got to connect the physical and the brain, right? You have got to tell, the brain has got to make a connection saying like, hey, this cannot be hard, or I need to make this feel comfortable even when it's not uncomfortable. So the brain is constantly sending signals to the body. You know, sometimes the brain is the number one thing that will stop you from success, because if the brain says, hey, this is too hard, you can't do this anymore, it's too hard. If you accept what the brain is telling you, and you forget the workout, you just scratch, you give up, quit. We've all been there before. And that's where the danger lies in, you know, like, but what if we can eliminate that, and we can not accept what our brain is telling us? In other words, we are going to just say, hey, you know, when you're doing the tempo run, and all of a sudden you start to feel tired, right? So think about this. You get tired. Let's say you're out there for a 5 mile or 30 minute tempo run or whatever, and next thing you know, you around 20 minutes, you know, the demons start coming in, and things like, the question marks, can I do this? Am I good enough? Can I slow down? This feels a little tough. And these are the things that are fake. We have to not let the brain even think about those things. Or if the brain wants to think about those negative things, accept it. Say, oh, okay, you want to think negative? That's fine. Let's move the next thought and keep going, you know. And in fact, you can even keep pushing it and say, hey, you know what? I don't feel the pain. I'm enjoying this. And if my brain wants to tell me that this is painful, I'm going to tell the brain back to say, hey, this is not painful. This is fully manageable. I'm enjoying this. So, hey, you want, and then at some point, you know, you learn, it's a fight always, guys, right? It's always that fight with you and your brain. That's all it is, all the time. We're constantly in a fight, you know, constantly trying to overpower the brain. And just, you know, if we're going to overpower the brain, and if you can just tell these things to the brain, then you'll be very successful, and you'll execute your easy days, you'll execute your workout days, your endurance runs, and that's it. Of course, once in a while, but very rarely, there will always be bad days. There will always be sometimes that there's nothing that you can do. You just have to accept the situation sometimes, but not all the time, you know. You have to just learn how to be mentally strong, engage, you know, tell yourself different mantras and things like that. And then that's how you'll go and pass any bad situation, right? It doesn't have to. The situation doesn't have to stay there for a long time. Say that's how you can move the lactate threshold, anaerobic threshold. And also, when you don't do this type of workouts, your lactate threshold and anaerobic threshold also moves backwards. You take time off, you don't run workouts, you just run easy. Maybe you had an injury, maybe you're coming back, and your lactate threshold disappears, you know. Instead of running, like, you know, maybe in my case, instead of running 5:10, 5:20 pace, maybe I start running, like, I take a month off and I start running 6 pace or 6:20, and the effort feels the same, difficulty, the lactate if we measure is the same. So that's exactly, it's irrelevant, right? The pace is relevant. It's the feeling when we're trying to run at these paces. We have to know exactly, hey, am I running exactly at the pace that I need to run? And then that's how you get better, right? Like, you run at the paces until they get comfortable. They fully never get comfortable, but you mentally get stronger. And that's why, you know, lactate threshold has to do something also with not just, you know, what your lactate is and blood levels, but also mentally. If you're able to do it the right way and move it up mentally, you will succeed. You will bring that lactate curve to the right, which is what we all want. We want to bring that curve to the right. When we don't bring and we don't do workouts at lactate threshold or aerobic threshold or speed workouts, we are stuck and our lactate threshold doesn't move much. Or when we go straight into the marathon training all the time and we forget to move up our lactate threshold, the results are always the same, and if not worse, because we didn't bring our LT up. And we have to always do that every single season. You know, sometimes that's why in running is not just all about just running and running, you know. You have to make sure I just saw Desiree Linden running. She's staying in the same area we're staying, just past me right there. In fact, she was running with her dog. Anyway, so that's what we have to do, you know, in order to improve. And these things are not easy. Let me tell you, they're not easy. You know, like, there's going to be times when there's an injury, there's sickness. Your lactate threshold predominantly is not going to change, like, quickly all the time. But, you know, it can move, you know, 15 seconds each direction, maybe 10 seconds. Just depends how, where your lactate threshold is. And the best way to really measure or find out your LT, if you can't go in a lab or anything like that, or if you don't have a race that you can do for 1 hour or whatever, is what you in training environment, you know, to do a 30-minute tempo run and run at a pretty hard effort and take your heart rate from 10 minutes all the way up to 30. And the average of those 20 minutes is going to be your lactate threshold heart rate, roughly, because the first 10 minutes the heart rate is going to come up, and then, you know, then it's going to stay there, and then from 10 minutes to 30 it should stabilize, and you should really see your heart rate numbers, and you should really see that, hey, you know, for example, if you average 170, then that's what your heart rate, or that's what your lactate threshold heart rate is, 170. So then you, once you know like where it is, you now create ranges, guys, and then you execute. There's numerous workouts that we can do, and in order that, and we just have to keep repeating them. You know, like a lot of times people say, like, does the training change a lot? Training changes a lot, but it shouldn't change too much, because what we're doing is the right thing, and we're trying to just improve and improve and improve, and we're trying to get our, you know, get consistency going. If you, and then the only way to get consistency going is to repeating the same pattern over and over, so that you can be successful. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and maybe you've learned something about what is the difference between lactate threshold, your one, aka 1 hour race pace, and aerobic threshold, your aka 2 hour race pace. And for the pros, it's the difference between half and marathon pace. So, and for everybody else, it's just what it is, your 1 hour pace and your 2 hour race pace. Those are two important parameters that we want to know in any case in training. So if you have chorus, always look at like where your 1 hour race pace or lactate threshold is. It will always tell you there, or where your 2 hour race pace is. You know, that's your aerobic threshold. And if you run a marathon in 2 hours, that means probably, you know, you're running it at more of an aerobic threshold area in for the 2 hours, versus if you run a marathon faster, then you're running it, like somebody like me, if I run like 70, 60, let's say if I was to do half marathon in 70 minutes, then I'm also operating, you know, like a little bit below my lactate threshold, just a slightly below, because I'm 10 more minutes out there than the 60 minute mark. So it just really depends, everybody's individual. Anyway, have a good one, guys, and take care.